as the tune of the market shares gave to you guys, the clutter popcorn on sheets of paper, the three things we don't want to give you, the excess machine and plastic packaging, live pills void, those very minus or plus size orders for heads up, we scan the milk, the dopamine, hemoglobin, goblin, hands-free talking device encrusted, the shoulder rope, the informal virtual, a spot check, red, bed, totally holy, and real burrow in sand. Let me be your guide. This is called Small of the Hand. Although the bug is held, restricted, marked the weak finale phrase, some wilds jostle the pledge of the toast of other, to some other game face off. Hand-picked, small of the hand, eyes the cilium, to be cleaned of other skills, from tootsie to hernia, those ones.
Thank you. another of those polythons, and it is called Dateline Patriots Day.
It's on.
Okay. Dateline Patriots Day. Clanking out of the green darkness into brilliant, agitated stillness, surrounded with people huddling, hiding, breaking almost out, people fall.
Pale horse, pale rider, push them down.
Surely this is the final battle, transcendental numbers, fresh in the air, breathing beyond the rationals, sparking,
fizzling, fragmenting the stuff of reality.
The brazen bowl of the sun is falling into reeking, breathing, flaming faces, kindling cotton spaces, isolating sign holders, framing what supports its own.
The plague from the sky, the moon blood.
Fall only when you have a number.
Thundering gulls, the sights,
water station.
We have got children, with the quivers.
Fall in the order of your numbers.
On, sisters, on, the sea is boiling.
My leaves are green.
Like
I cannot breathe. Heartbreak, kill.
Here we go, water. I hit the wall, the sound of the waters.
The pale forest
pushes us down. Masked, gowned figures cluster at the bodies.
All have numbers. Death is meted out by numbers.
Okay, my name's Mark, and I will be doing three poems of mine, and each represents a kind of interesting project. You can look at our blog, where stuff of mine appears most days, and often things from these ongoing projects are appearing there. The first one is from a book I've been working on for some years. It's called The Loss Leader. And so this, of course, is a loss lead. It's called Rebuilding Brand America. Like that bit of vision, not fair on fire against the rocks, I heard bells rolling through some words like buffaloes over those 18-wheelers up in a volcano, details from its tower, now a lake, like an eye, then the thought, then the touching as no. The gathering plunged face down into their denied tears, etc. Wait to pin it all, and a dazzler tilt, thieves of locked lives. Leaves run, you know, sort of a curdled electronic ink through cold. This then, sing that rack in an envious to the yuck factor. Rip just what you sow. I get going this way till a method works. Floating in from a dawn when only singing of insomnia birds. A ringing in an ear, fetch, that old sort of, they grow convergence between posts. Guarded by a who, me, by a 99, an almost post-America, almost post-Europe is flourishing, post-immediate, gone through as lava rolls verbs with a holiday reel in a closer distance. Different versions of this poem have been written at different times for different people who twist slow in their various ways. And this project is another book which is slowly finding its shape. It talks about what poetry is, and I think it gets at it a little better than a lot of the essays people write on poetics. And this is, it's called Poetics, A Treatise Reversed. This is essay 357. Then links form to speck as in a wired way. A bestseller is the creepy bluff, a fandom mail package. All triple is a flowmeister, mouth flaming. It goes a sign system. Worth all that quick or newer sunlight washed from the plates of a techno-technicoid preen. Goes mainly for more in explode capital. It's a wormy side, happens dancing, mainstreaming, then to be a bitter beer in a pale expole. So rats in that one single dock, docking a nautical windup, untie a yodel knotting, then tipper to a more down seeming fable hack, then ready to start a marginalia. Then it would be as a fine line with Stacy, however opportunities for a mass practice or whatever you want to insert, reportedly quite painful, mimic running at the middle of influence in the 1950s in the international edition, keeps attacking a buildup of overcapacities in the career force of October, and really the work, as stolen, is deranged. Art can be beaten and claimed with fake sprays and praise each day against noon, and the two-state solution, gaseous and liquid, can never solve the fading binocular power. Also, management works hard and long at a flat acting workshop. Thanks. This is the final one. We, for about 8 years, at least, the Atlanta Poets Group had a very regular and frequent show at the Iron Gallery in Atlanta. And it was called Language Harm. And it was one of the real, highest points in the group's development and productivity. And in each show, and they started out every other month, and they went to being quarterly. And but there were quite a few dozen of these shows called Language Harm. Each one had its own specific theme. And great stuff got generated because of that approach. This particular one was written for the show that was called How Stuff Works. So everything I did for that show kind of, was about how a certain particular entity in the world works. And this is called How Old Work and No Play Makes Mark a Dull Boy Works. A real smoothie putting out poem, gash, bars, twirl, metam, ah, tweet at a ground slitter. Investigators who perform well double my demand for drugs, a chirpy FBI directory told me. Squabble as a buster in a dole out line, or just congeal and mimic as a copycat. My sideline power dogs got sputtered to tiptoe gain ranching, where in the breed circle you've got each note with a prickliness jaunt line. I emanate from the new blues benefits lining in a silver lead balloon cloud stamped privity life anchor. Agree that my snarl goes to an edging? Who put it up to it, a winch to train me? Gathering figures in the Rhapsody's mock flicker. I mean, layout, hanging at the WAP canteen, managed that military sugar half rush, pretty decorated. Now you can marry and be a Marine with a handgun for your protective voting rope. The iron velvet manpower planning means you guard the guardian hit ghost community a lot algorithm to a crag dance in a step ringing bureaucratic insurgency indifference, like a spume too nimble to teeter. I mean, if they could wrap up my mumbling in an old grit sag, this would be your opportunity. The face of order, the dreams of no purpose, and stunned in that commercial, a riot of none. Thanks.
We're gonna do a piece here, which is in actually, why don't you put this back here? We'll come to this. So we're gonna do an untitled piece. So rather than a title, let me give you a little bit of background on this one. Mark's passing out pieces that are called epiphytes, and they're sort of for you to sort of play along if you want to during this piece. But this piece has a little bit of a story because We used to do some collaborations, we still do, with an Atlanta artist called David D'Agostino, who actually is not in Atlanta anymore. He moved to Colorado, which is an interesting story about him and his family loosely connected with the Cosa Nostra and stuff. But he gave us a painting, which then I turned into a poem, I guess, and then sent it out to him, and then he threw it in a river in the Rocky Mountains and froze it and gave us back some audio and stuff, and then got turned back. And so it's been this iterative thing we've been doing. And it's kind of resulted in this. This is the latest iteration, so we're going to perform this for you guys. The card should be fairly self-explanatory, but it's kind of dark back there, so if you can't read it, it's fine. Just humor me or whatever. But you just kind of key in on the keywords in the card. If you hear the word or phrase or something, feel free to work your way through the lattice until you get to an end line and then switch cards or whatever. As I say, it's pretty...
What? I'm sorry, if I can say that.
You see those little clouds? They're sort of on the other side. The side with the lattice on it, the text that's sort of by itself.
Yeah. The dot to dot
stuff. There's words in that sort of cloud, and those are cue words. Which, if you hear them when we're doing this piece, or you hear them in the audience, feel free to then out loud move your way through the lattice until you come to an end.
So we follow it. It's like a choose your own adventure.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. But as I say, no pressure. You don't have to do anything. You just listen. All right. I appreciate that. Be over here. Yeah, we're doing the Vatican I, pre-Vatican II style, where we're facing this way. This should be. Ready?
Bonds are your facts.
Spoken paste, not meant for your
mouth.
Lights.
Liquor lights.
Sidewalk mirrors.
Snowmen breathe through their eyes.
Costume
wrinkles, huge. More special.
Earth.
Airports.
All the silhouettes intersect their own size. Inside. What causes?
Personal
merely convinced I'm not.
We should have to say. Inside
the same as
airports,
nothing. Sound and spelling. But sound that is chased to pursuit. Order to
climb.
Fear.
Part of
the others.
Shoots.
Come on.
Airports of the park.
So
shadows.
There.
Shadows.
And you love
the park.
Umpteen.
Lights.
And.
Shirt.
Pronounced
motion
sleeps in my quicks as they brighten into these cushions, nor anywhere else clears
lights,
blasphemy,
shadows,
vivid,
honky pop
lights,
charming,
rural,
and
buttering zip gloss,
two,
optic 40,
for them,
lights,
video,
shadows.
Achoo.
Airports of the particles and
the
shadows.
Unicorn about armpit.
Lights.
Lit, or
airports of the particles.
Dance
lights.
By the hanging
particles.
Resloped.
Lights.
Unknown stairs. With.
Ebert.
Organic appliances.
Lights.
Longing goats. Two ice cream trucks. Or yesterday's lights.
Nonsense.
Vindictive.
Particles.
To the elocution.
Shadows.
Eyeless compounds.
Particles.
Earth food bars.
Airports of the particles and shadows.
Cancel.
Lights.
Lit.
Shadows.
Flushes.
Come on. Airports of the particles and shadows.
Branches. Snowmen. Shadows.
Particles.
Lights.
Shadows
and
particles. Airports of the particles and shadows. Lights. Particles. Airports of the shadows and particles. Airports of the shadows, the
airports.
Snowmen breathe through their eyes.
Any made
obstacle.
Given circumstances, I over with the light.
just thought something happened unless we agree. I'm sure we will, though you won't know it. I probably won't know it either, and all will be unsatisfied when things are done. Okay, so I woke up that day too, right? All of you did? We all knew it? Or maybe we didn't know it immediately. For me, because I live alone, I got up, I rolled out of the bed, nothing seemed in the slightest bit unusual. I walked down the hallway, turned a corner, and into the other hallway, because I have one of those weird apartments that was some larger thing cut up into smaller things, and so it's strangely apportioned. As I turned the next corner, heading then into the bathroom to do morning.
Yikes.
And it was a bit like that, right? Out of the corner of my eye, the poster that's there on the door to the closet that I see all the time. 40s, celluloids, film star. And then I go for the word, right? And you've all done this too. You go for the word. Or the pronoun. And it hurts, right? Or you inadvertently say something that you didn't even expect was going to be painful, and you hit one of those words. And then, you know, the headache subsides eventually, and you go back to talking about things that are easier, that are more comfortable to talk about. So, I saw the poster, and something about it seemed wrong. Or different. Like, I'm looking at the poster, and this was one of those other kinds before. But I'm not certain. And I go into the bathroom. Now, I'm sure some of you are thinking this is when something new would have happened, right? This is when I would have recognized. But honestly, no, I just had to go, right? And for whatever reason, you know, it's just one of those mornings. So I can sit, you know, I sit, things happen, nothing unusual about that as far as I could see. I got up, I got dressed, I looked at the poster again. I still couldn't really quite figure it out. There was something between it and me that was not the same as it had been previously. I got dressed that day. I was planning on going out somewhere. I wanted to look good. I'm a little vain. So I spend, you know, an extra time doing my things. And while I'm doing my things, getting ready, picking out the clothes and whatnot, again, there's this sense like something in the room is different. Perhaps that I'm forgetting something crucial. Or perhaps that, yes, really, maybe that's it, that forgetting something crucial. But what that thing would be, I'm not entirely certain, at least at that point, as I'm sure some of you weren't either. Although there were the dramatic stories, right? You know, the ones where spouses wake up in bed next to each other. And one turns to the other and says, "You're a..." And then, of course, they don't know the word, right? The word that they had doesn't work anymore. And so that hurts, and they roll around in bed holding their heads, don't know why this has hurt so much. But where the day before, I knew that I was doing this normative thing, right? Where the pieces that everybody thinks are the ones that go together are the ones that go together between these two people, and then they wake up that day and the pieces are not the same pieces anymore. And they know now, somehow, in the great dramatic stories, right, where the husband and... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. The great sort of stories, the funny stories, the ones that made it to the magazines, where the spouses wake up together and they figure out all that stuff, and you're a what? I mean, yes, of course I am, and we are really, and then the kid walks in and it's one of the other ones, right? So, where before, and this is where it kind of starts to filter in, it's been months now, right? So telling the where you were on T-Day story is not really the best story all the time anymore. It's just that I know that there was a night that I went to sleep where there were two basic types of things, of which all of us were one. And then when I woke up the next day, there were three. And I was positive there had always been three. I was absolutely certain that from the time I'd been born and gotten to the point where I could identify myself and other people had been identifying me all the time and picking out the colors that go with whatever the thing was that I was, that I was this one. And yet, I'm also quite positive that my dear friend
who I will not bring into this at the moment, but to say that my dear friend that I've had for all of my life had the same stuff down there, and had the same general comportment within the social world that I did. We were the same kind of something, whatever that something might have been. But that day, when I finally did meet up with him that afternoon, ow! Fuck! When I met up with Chris, I took one look at Chris, Chris took one look at me, and we both knew that everything was completely different. Of course, everybody else had already figured everything was completely different earlier that day, because I sleep until 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon on average. Right? So the people that got up at 7 o'clock in the morning, they figured this shit out by 7:15 before, you know, the kid, before you take the kid off to school, right? I guess that's because kid means like a goat or something, right? before they took their goats off school, they already had to assess the situation and panic, right, or not go to school. Whereas I, being solitary, the sort of people who doesn't necessarily like other people, didn't go out until later, and then I see Chris, and Chris and I see each other, and we realize that where we had both been on a certain side of a line that sort of imaginarily, even way back then, imaginarily only divided us into two types of beings. But now that we're on opposite sides of that, and I was convinced that I was maybe the way I had always been, which is how it always feels for everybody all the time. But of course, Chris was likewise convinced. Then it got, of course, very awkward and peculiar when Chris's significant other arrived. And, well, let's just say that now the significant other and I are sort of playing on the same side of another line. But, you know, this line splits. It's a Y line. So there's now three areas of us, three types of us. Three certain ways of presenting that type through all kinds of things, through clothing, through choices of words, through stereotype expectations. Some of them terrible. And we all remember, I mean, I sure should remember, that previous to, back when there were just the two, when it kind of made sense and seemed normal that way, that there was some sort of power imbalance that was long-term and structural, and shit tons of people complained about it, right? There was bad stuff about that. Being too much identified with either side seemed problematic. And we all still remember that, but nobody can remember which side of the fence they had been on before. So it's this kind of Rawlsian veil of ignorance kind of thing. Anybody gets that boring, nerdy academic reference. You were this, and then you weren't. What's between the table legs, as the graffito went. Well, we had a nice lunch. I found points of identification with the significant other of my dear friend Chris that I had never shared before. Hell, we might go shopping. And of course, they asked us to answer two questions. Everybody, we have, you know, what? I don't know how many minutes left I have left in the box, but I waited 3 hours to get in here. We're supposed to answer two questions. What can we remember about, you know, the way things were before? Now, I assume every moron that walked in here previous to me did their best to tell, and then they walked around holding their head for 5 to 8 minutes during the 10 minutes that they were allowed to have a microphone. I didn't want to do that, but of course, I can't really tell you what I remember from before except in vague contours. That we tended, as a whole, to assume that there was some sort of rigid link between the things that one conceals in the crotch of their pants, certain other secondary characteristics, and then ways that you perform a sort of social role that somehow in many people's minds is linked to the stuff in your pants and all kinds of other stuff, right? And we also, I think most people recognize, you know, there are folks that didn't want to, but I think most people recognize that what counted as being like unto the type of person that you were back when there used to be two types, vary enormously from one culture to another, such that, can't say that. The Trobriand Islanders, right? There was somebody famous who studied those people, I won't say who, and found that, contrary to the way it was understood in, like, you know, the United States, where one of these two was the, you know, go out and bring home the bacon or other pork products and pay the bills and all that sort of stuff, while the other, in a sort of 50s stereotypical, you know, image, was to stay home and deal with the kids. But in the Trobriand Islands, this is completely reversed. And the ones that are the stay home, you know, too emotional, too nurturing, you can't really count on them to do anything very logical, they're the very serious ones in the Trobriand Islands. If you want something done reasonably, you want coherent planning, you want rational, logical behavior, you can put those of the two, right? Whereas the ones that are, you know, the other of those, this other business is a problem. This opposite business is even more problematic now, right? Because there's no more opposites anymore. You know, there are two types of beings with whom I might reproduce. That's new on me. Okay, so back to the Trobriand Islanders. The ones that, like, you know, in our stereotype are supposed to be the, you know, aggressive and rational and, you know, there's these old, cluster old ones of these kinds. Something like that. Those in the Trobriand Islands largely sit around preening and wearing fancy feather headdresses and bitching at one another. But that's a dog, right? You should be able to say that. There's one theory running around, you might have heard this already. There's one theory going around. Since none of us can say certain words, that it seems like at some level we actually know, that it's a bit like there's been a collective global stroke. We all have some sort of language problem. But it seems to me, this is my guess, is that those two terms and all the other things that they have been sort of questionably used in relationship to ontologically for discussion of human subjectivity, for categorizing plants, animals, every damn thing. All those words have become kind of painful, have become unavailable. There are people who say they don't remember them. There are, of course, already people saying that that never existed, that none of that ever was, and it's always been like this, and they have some pretty good evidence. There seem to be all these things that there should be hard evidence. There should be something written down, right? But nobody can bear to look at that material anymore, because even to read it is like having your head blow up. So now we're faced with three, with not knowing what we used to be, with the potential to reproduce and carry on the species, if you think that's important. Where is it going? I don't know. What should we call ourselves? It wouldn't really matter what I thought, because words are going to eventually emerge for this, right? And then generation down the line, what are they going to think about what's going on now? Some sort of mass hysteria? Nope. Delusion. Mass delusion. That's what we're going for. Maybe. But I wanted something else. There's another word that would have gotten at it better, but I can't say that word. Actually, I can't even quite hear that word. Anyway, I'm sure my time is up and somebody will be coming in here calling themselves terrible cranial pain. So, thanks. this piece was also, it also has to do with David D'Agostino, because I wrote it I wrote it after an exhibit of his at the Poem 88 Gallery in Atlanta. And it was an exhibit of landscapes. So this is called Phenomenon of Consequence. Side, unsightly, a specific crackle.
A crackle, very specific. So the hobble hobble into shoulder.
Marco operand, sands ocean, sands.
Eye liar, field of stream and trim terse.
Eye liar, in the back room, phenomena of consequence. So root familiarity.
Drawn out so neat
as
a granular chance, unfrocks, and so friendly, frozen into space's limp.
Frozen into space's limp, a specific crackle, like extreme bodies in molten resonance.
A chance
so
granular, orange globe, my eyes
are
playing minds on me.
Field stream, focal punt and stunted earth, golly gee whisper. In an underlying convenience.
So familiarity buffer hobbled into a palate cleaved.
A minuscule grammatical trapping in the mind's eyes, great, great, great ancestors. Mind's eyes whisper.
How you can make light of such a thing.
How you can make light out of such a thing.
Oh, range!
On the home, where the commodity futures and wake out crumbs crumble over and under.
Land versus hand.
Like a phrase in maize, corn-fed buffus thus throats.
Nature for the taking, a specific crackle.
What is the sound of a world spoken literal?
At the end of a tunnel, there's light.
You'll bevel my autumnal dental appointment. A literally spoken poop in a potted crane.
A specific crackle. Phenomenon of familiarity. Less, but not most.
We're the sun, looked through a filters.
We're filters, looked at by the sun.
We're looking through the filters, at the sun.
In the back room, a tree barely out of range.
A craned neck.
Neck.
Phenomenon of consequence, radiation painted minutely.
Radiation of phenomena.
You'll find me at the designated spot.
You'll find me at the designated spot.
Neck crane
targets the sun.
Thanks.
James was saying right there. Stuff. I should have known to get.
This next piece is a piece that uses a form which was developed by a guy named John Selvidge, who's a member of the group, but he now lives in Oklahoma City. And the form is called a harmonium. It's a grid, basically, with words and then diacritic marks that are performed in various ways. And I've sort of taken that and fitted it into a different form. Anyway, it's called Mini Phyto Harmonium. Y'all are you guys. Strange voilas of life and pink for the time being. Intimacy, wow, there. And think that they are the same person. Priorities, soaked continuum. Sight, ribbon, X hues. Centric, plexi furniture. Dual genitives, realism, whoa. Some, whoa. Smurfette, tactile. Brunting, whoa. The teeth off your tongue as you say this, like gold-colored formica with no sound on it. But there was no other way. What do you want this to do around them? Slurp routine tasks, alarming tendency to read random variables, and pink for the time being, middlemen touch only middlemen, or Tabasco. Whoa! Centrally, whoa! Ripples, that they are the same person, priorities soaked continuum, darling or plops. Whoa! Realism, whoa! as over. Maybe you close the doers, strange voilas of life, and pink for the time being. Middlemen touch only middlemen, and then read this poem with other words in it. They can only be people without their eyes, that they are the same person.
Is called Disintegration. Integration, Redisintegration.
Flattened by something.
Seems to be a serious shooting.
It was different.
Who killed Paul?
But organic minds are such fragile things.
Not over there. About what?
A static.
Where?
Love.
Someone that's
home.
Coming
by.
This is
running.
Minds
in my
heart. To a cat.
If
that
is
flat killed.
At least
lines.
Look,
are
there
blunderbuss?
Things call at
me.
Who would he
use? Okay,
everyone.
Thunder.
That's
brought
you
from
is
all
fragile.
Love.
Real at
this next one is called aphorist tense. like a fee. The law and its majestic squalidity applied its decisions difficult either this watch paper bird or succeeded like excess, for his talker led no questioning, shuddering under wretches, for extreme diseases, severe sleeps, extreme curves, or I went life was short and art long, prevented the stilt as well as the floor. Moderation was a fatal thing, experience perilous. Time would explain it all. The crisis fleeting, experience hurrying before he talked. Majestic quiddity clawing its shores, succeeded, receded, burning, backfires, extreme, intrigue, shuddering, short life. Perilous, I went extremely fallen, preventing implantations, lacerous. Law, perilous, stuttering, revered, hurried, curves, reiterating, moderation, talks, watch, questioning, extreme, art, prevented, stilted, watch, paper, screaming, crisis, what, receding, relax, stilted, diseases, expendable. This one is called Quiche. The quintus heuristically held at its points. I touched it squeamishly, not wanting to be impaled in transhuman stupidity, for I don't know anyone. But the quintus knows everybody, screamed at me, meek quiescing, quibble, not just quip, a griffin. Pushing lights, so dark, I become querulous. Isn't there anyone I know? Just strange quirks, shops in the dark, so long since I've eaten. I'm slightly queasy, so I sit down, eating from a battered bowl, wisps and queen. Yeah, and then, this is an index point. You write for indexes. Cunning and implacable like Denmark. Cunning and implacable like Denmark doubts Victoria's existence, a burnout illusion. Giant grasshopper victor versus victim theory and cancer, impenetrable. Visits, but is implacable, incapable to live in, compared to London lawyer. Does not visit at Christmas. Curiosity about Scottish dancing. Looks about, spreads butter over Orlando. She's a housefly and gets a smile from a lifeguard. Peevish in train. Peevish. Peevish again. Won't knuckle under a group of friends. Something to bite on. Seized and sucked dry by the Rhodesian crew. Giant grasshoppers. Succeeded, exceeding, blunder of calling queen, a woman. Worse and financial interests and decadence not available. Sucked. As arteries manipulated. Berger with whiskers fresh from murder. Get your tongue out of my mouth when I'm kissing you goodbye.
That's yours, yeah.
Okay.
This is yours because of course one. Yeah.
If any of you folks have been glancing at our book that was published recently by the University of Schrodinger's Press, it makes reference to lattices, to the form of a lattice, which has been made a number of conceptual things by the group in recent years, but it's also a specific kind of way of scoring a polyphon, and it looks like this. It's done using graphical means to connect up verbal entities, what I call word clusters often. And so I wrote the first one about 10 years ago, and James has done many of them. And James gave it the title of being a lattice of this form. So the group has worked with it a lot. And this is a lattice form polyphonic. It's called "Your Call is Important to Us," or "Outlier."
Genotypical synchromesh.
The scanner is
crashed. Syndoc. Harshest focus.
Shell number.
Camera. Up tempo.
Polyphonic.
Red log. Yellow dog. Orange. Bellowing. Connect.
Lost ball.
Partial tongue. Slither. Partial.
Lunar. Spectro box.
Yellow dog. Contract.
Sign me up.
Delimit and jigger.
Emulsion and barbarity.
Exclamation points, and listening and standard to if free self fears until people are in throes, being a lingling, warding to call a live person,
and one you are in,
milderly and jitters, hug clues on a slot and sector to no one step through anything with sweatbands on, spectral or caramel flock, and sector to hug clues on a celibate or level, warning to call a live person to go, but not solid.
First of all, we wanted to, before we did the last piece,
We want to, of course, thank Lizzie for having us and everybody in Africa. And then, of course, thank everybody for coming out and listening to this show.
Okay, this is a polyphon called Calm and Respite. And I think that it has to do with the structure of the poem rather than the emotions that they make up their own mind about that. Crunching into the wind, the ending blood.
Yeah, hunkering through the wind.
Hunkering down, staging by hook at another.
Enters funk another.
Scuttle up and down those rotten alleys.
Yes, huddle under the mud, drown that flat floor.
Carapace the cuddling toxic rays, pointing words.
Yes. Toxic the brow.
They destroy rotten alewives to grow.
Destroy rotten spoilers.
Occluding shoots words under penetrant bruise.
Yes, shooting words.
Dismember the shattered words, the shoveling wound.
Yes,
shoveling wives.
There are no louder sounds in the wind of blood.
Yes,
occluded wind of blood.
Treasured bloody floods breaking the seal.
Yes,
bloated
hit, strike, bleeding those bloody bullets.
Yes,
surrounding blood.
Shooting that bold and brilliant flood.
Yes, the shimmering blood.
Cuddling toxic shapes in the wind.
Yes, ripping toxic shoes.
Strike, scarp, underthrust, devouring land.
Yes. Underthrust the blizzards.
Unleap the sunder, forced how blights.
How blight the sunder.
Toxin the vein of errors. And the flood.
Yes, toxin the errors.
Relieve the life limbs rotting in the corn.
Dismembered corn.
The wire is life. All else is watching.
Wire.
Watching the wire.
Leaving the wired all clotted with rhyme.
Clotted with wire.
Penetrant stars distorting the scuttle.
Yes, distorting stars.
Storms wrenched limbs under penetrant flooding.
Yes,
penetrant limbs.
Riding the wire, occluding the spawn.
Commendable spawn.
The cloud still rays, painting the corn.
Yes,
pointed corn. There are scarred bullets eating curses.
Yes. Cursing the field.
Saving and scattering toxins and rage.
Yes.
The
Lord.
The last nights have come.
The last nights have come. Thank you. Fantastic. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, you're a cool artist.